Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But for the grace of God, go I. But for the grace of God, go I. Finally back from South Carolina. Back from drinking from the fire hose. Visiting with Mama Frost. And every time, folks, I get back on the plane to come back to Boston, that's what goes through my head. But for the grace of God, go I. No, we actually had a good time. The fire hose, it was not at full throttle like it normally is. She's mellowing out a bit in her old age. Kind of, sort of, she is. So I have a couple of days to recharge, and then off I go again. And as a reminder, and on a programming note, White Boy Malcolm X and I are headed down to Miami Beach on Wednesday. Although we're going to try to sneak in another podcast before we go out of town in a few days. That silly queen, her and her massive suitcase she'll be bringing for a 3-day beach trip. That high maintenance, overpacking queen is going to be crashing here on Tuesday anyway. So I'm going to hand him an Italian beer or two. Like, that'll take a lot of arm twisting. Put him to work a bit so we can get something out before we go see what those queens down in Miami Beach are up to. And remember, folks, this stays between you and us. I do not want to be on the wrong side of Floridian justice. I do not want to be part of a Florida-based smoking gun story. If you know what I mean. So let's just keep this on the down low. So let's just go ahead and jump into things, folks. And this first one is from the Daily Wire. Jake Tapper grills Pocket Queen Pete over Biden's handling a Chinese spy balloon. Now, this story was from, I think it's about a week old already. So this headline is nothing new. Hysterical drama queen Jake Tapper. And by the way, don't say that on Twitter unless you want to get yourself a suspension. But hysterical drama queen Jake Tapper, him interviewing, him grilling Pocket Queen Pete over creepy Uncle Joe the hair sniffer and the Chinese spy balloon. And I guess what was news here was that even CNN, those woke clowns over at CNN, they suddenly decided to grow a pair, suddenly decided to not automatically drink the Kool-Aid that those feckless morons in the White House, what they serve up every day. They actually made Pocket Queen Pete here sweat a little. Didn't just take his gaslighting lying down like they usually do. And they're not the only ones. Apparently, poor Pocket Queen Pete here, as if living with Justin Buttigieg, that low-rank queen from Michigan, as if living with him isn't bad enough. Now he's getting roughed up by what is normally a very friendly press corps. How friendly are they? Ann Coulter, I think it's Ann Coulter, she refers to the mean girls in the mainstream media high school clique refers to them as the Democratic Party's Praetorian Guard. And Michael Goodwin at the New York Post, he also calls them that, calls them the Praetorian Guard. But that's the relationship between the media and the Democrats. Like with the Hunter Biden laptop story, when the New York Post broke that in 2020, October of 2020, the Praetorian Guard went to work. Twitter suspended their account, did that for weeks, claiming it was false. The rest of the media just ignored it, sent it down the memory hole, because if they don't talk about it, it never happened. And even when they did acknowledge that the laptop was real, that the story itself was real, like the woke New York Times or Jeff Bezos' pet newspaper, the Washington Post, where democracy dies in darkness. What was that? 2+ years later, they finally come out. Well, yeah, the laptop is real, I guess. But then they don't talk about what's on it. All the damning information that's on it. So back down the memory hole it goes. But getting back to this, Jake Tapper grilling Pocket Queen Pete. The most interesting part of this interview is that apparently, during a commercial break, Chastin Buttigieg, that low-ranked queen from Michigan, Chastin was there, and he apparently lit into Jake Tapper like no one's business. Which, of course, those mean girls in the media didn't bother to report on. Memory hold it again. But, folks, we have spies everywhere. And we managed to get a copy of that tirade from Chastin. Chastin lighting up Jake Tapper. So, White Boy Malcolm X, go ahead and play that for us.
Oh, hell no, Jake Tapper. Hell no. I don't know what you think you're doing, but it stops right now. And don't you say a word. I am not done talking. I am so tired of men trying to interrupt me. How dare you talk to my husband like that? Question my husband like that? He is the Secretary of Transportation. We are in the ruling class. And don't even try to give me that "so am I" nonsense. You work for CNN. Who the hell do you think you're fooling? No one, Jake Tapper. No one. And don't you think people already know how incompetent my husband is? I sure as hell do. You think he helps me with our black-identified babies, Barack and Oprah? Hell no, he doesn't. I gotta ask the nanny to do everything. And look at that cheap-ass suit he's wearing. Do you know how long I've had to suffer? Having to drive to the dry cleaner all the time because of his nasty cheap-ass suits? And do you know how many potholes are between our house and that dry cleaner? A lot and a lot. You think he does anything about it? You think he even knows how to fill in a pothole? Hell no and hell no. And don't even get me started on how bad in bed he is. You ever have sex with a mannequin? It's like that, but worse. He keeps telling me he's gonna last more than 3 minutes. But you know what? Lies. All lies. And that assumes he can even get hard in the first place. So I already know what a loser my husband is. I live with his incompetence every day. Every single day. I don't need anyone explaining that to me. But I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to hear me right now, Jake Tapper. No matter what kind of failure he is, Peter is my ticket to becoming First Lady of the United States. And I am not going to have some D-rate CNN host messing that up. You hear me? I swear to God, Jake Tapper, I will strangle the living hell out of you. You trying to screw up me being First Lady. And for the record, I am not some low-rent queen from Michigan. I don't care what that evil podcaster Miller Frost has to say. Now I'm going back into the green room to have me another wine spritzer. Goodbye.
Holy crap, white boy Malcolm X. Man, God. Now I heard it was bad, but ouch. That low-rent queen from Michigan was on fire. She was not taking any crap from that hysterical drama queen, Jake Tapper. Not taking any of what he was serving up to Pocket Queen Pete. Nothing, and I mean nothing, not even the Praetorian Guards at CNN are going to get between Justin Buttigieg and him becoming First Lady of the United States of America. From Gay Times, those girls over at Gay Times, 80 for Brady, Goose Cantworthy, says Gay Kiss was cut from new film. So this vapid queen again. Speaking of Goose Cantworthy, I saw this from Pride.com. Goose Cantworthy says he's ready for a romantic lead role. Okay, princess, if you say so. A queen has to dream, I guess. So dream on. And with this movie, 80 for Brady, which has Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, and Sally Field. So a chick flick. But the premise of the movie is that these four are off to see Tom Brady and the Patriots play in the Super Bowl, the 2017 Super Bowl. And for whatever godforsaken reason that some drunk queen screenwriter thought up, probably after a long weekend bender, getting drunk and plowed by half the guys in WeHo, they decided they needed some queens in the movie, so they cast Goose Cantworthy and Brian Jordan Alvarez, whoever the hell that is, as boyfriends. And I guess they had a scene where those two kissed, but that wound up on the cutting room floor. And so now, Goose Cantworthy, that silly queen, has come out and in speaking to Variety said this. They said they had to cut it for time, but I think they cut it for Middle America. Jesus Christmas. So I guess he's still a bit of a drama queen, this one. And Variety, like a bunch of gossipy mean girls, they actually reached out to both Tom Brady and Paramount Pictures to see what they had to say about this. What do you think about what Gus Cantworthy said? And common sense prevailing, both were like, no comment. Now the production company who put this silly little movie together, their name is Fifth Season. They said that they cut 20 minutes of the film for pacing reasons. So it wasn't just this kiss that got cut. And having worked in film production back in the mid-aughts when I lived in L.A., like every queen in L.A. does, that does happen on a regular basis. All five projects I worked on, with every project, we cut something out. It just happens, be it pacing, length, what have you. Sometimes you just have to cut things out. But this comment by Gus Cantworthy, that they cut out his silly little kiss to please middle America. Oh, come on, princess. You're going to have to try a bit harder if you want to play victim. This clown is trying to play a press gay martyr, trying to throw himself up on a cross, just like David Hogg, like that blithering idiot does. Although, David Hogg, he does it for the Benjamins. And White Boy Malcolm X, this also has Billy Porter in it. Now, I don't know if he's wearing a dress. I don't know if they have him trashing Harry Peekaboo Styles. Peekaboo, peekaboo. Trashing that closet case because Vogue put the white closet case on their cover and not him. And if you folks don't know what that's about, you really do need to listen to more of my podcasts. You got to keep up. These things do build on each other. But anyway, Goose, nice try, princess. But no one cares about two queens kissing these days. That's about as banal as some hysterical trans woman pretending to have menstrual cramps on TikTok. I get that you need a second act after retiring from whoring out new gaby Colton Underwood for a sugar daddy. But acting? Really? I don't even think the casting couch is going to be able to help you out with that one unless the director has some aging party queen fetish. But you have yourself a grand gay old time trying.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
From Grazia, when will everyone stop talking about Madonna's changing face? We must inspect the obscene beauty standards that are conditioned into society. Oh, for S sake with this one. And this nonsense. You want to talk about a first world white people problem? A news article about beauty standards being horrible, a news article about a vapid, aging without dignity pop star, desperately clinging to relevance, Grandma Madonna, bless her heart. And this was written by, how the hell do I even pronounce this one? Ilea Harry. I think that's how you pronounce it. A-A-L-I-Y-A-H, Aaliyah. And Aaliyah, if you're out there listening to this podcast, I apologize for maybe possibly butchering the hell out of your first name. And her last name, again, is Harry, as in Prince Harry Ginger or Harry Peekaboo Styles. Peekaboo, peekaboo. And her appearance, Grandma Madonna's appearance, at that nonsensical high school award show, the Grammys, which I didn't talk about on our last podcast, her face was so mangled, so distorted, that even Mickey Rourke had to be thinking, what the blankety blank 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 has that woman done to her face? But this article, this love letter to Grandma Madonna, had to do with her at the Grammys and how people, in seeing this clownish appearance from her, how people reacted, which I think, for the most part, was probably what Mickey Rourke was thinking. What I thought when I saw a picture of her, what the blankety blank 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 has that woman done to her face? And Aaliyah's hypothesis, of course, is that it's sexism. It's all about sexism because male celebrities can have work done and no one says anything about it. But if Grandma Madonna has it,
Myrtle, fetch me my smelling salts. That trashy pop star mangled her face.
But this sexism charge, what a joke. This has nothing to do with sexism. Look at Cher. Now, I haven't seen her in a bit, but when she was in like her early 60s or so, around where Grandma Madonna is now, she looked phenomenal for her age. She looked really great for someone who'd had, allegedly, supposedly, possibly, maybe, had a good bit of work done. But did anyone make fun of Cher or ask, what the hell has Cher done to herself?
No.
And the reason why is that, unlike Madonna, clearly, unlike Madonna, Cher didn't go to a strip mall plastic surgeon for her work. She went to the best, and it shows. And she's not the only woman who's had work done, but they went to a real doctor, not some quack who turns people into a Muppet character or something. People aren't mocking Grandma Madonna for having work done. People are mocking her for the quality of the work she's had done, which is, well, you folks understand that train wreck already. I don't need to explain that one to you. And between the mangled face and whatever garbage she's wearing, pretending to be a hysterical tween girl up on Instagram and TikTok, of course people are going to comment about it. Grandma Madonna, she likes the attention anyway. And bless her heart, she hasn't figured out the difference between being talked about for her Like a Prayer video, where she had burning crosses and made out with a black Jesus, talking about that, or her weird Muppet face and silly outfits and these bizarre outbursts she has on social media. She thinks it's all the same, which it clearly is not. And again, bless her heart. And for our last story, folks, it's from Pride.com. Those girls over at Pride.com. 14 things you need to do before hooking up with someone. Jesus Christmas. From one dumpster fire to the next. From Grandma Madonna's butchered face to this silliness. And this was written by Rachel Charlene Lewis and Andrew J. Stillman. So it took two idiots to write this garbage. Now, is there any queen out there who isn't already rolling their eyes at this nonsense?
No.
Because queens, folks, they don't need this mansplained to them in the least. They already know what to do, especially the slutty queens out there. And you know who you are. But here, as a public service announcement, here are the 14 things you need to do before pulling a Ronan Rubenstein, who, by the way, is our favorite bisexual here on the Miller Frost podcast. But before you go out and pull a Ronan Rubenstein, allegedly, supposedly, possibly, maybe, go out, get plowed by half the guys in LA, here are the 14 things you need to do. Number one, be straightforward about your intentions. So if you're Ronan, "Hi girls, I'm here to get banged by half the guys in LA." Number two, if feelings get involved, admit it. The only feelings these horny hookup queens are feeling are shame and self-loathing. Those, and feeling trapped because whatever loser they just banged wants to cuddle for a bit. And White Boy Malcolm X, can you see the sex positivity people write about now? With me saying that these queens are feeling shame and self-loathing. Oh, how dare you judge someone for being a whore? How dare you judge someone for being a power bottom at a weekend gangbang? Really, ladies? Really? Who do you think you're fooling? No one. But anyway, number three, figure out how secretive you want to be about your relationship. Again, like Ronan, it's up to you to disclose that you got a girlfriend at home before the line forms, if you know what I mean. Number four, talk about if you want to be exclusive or not. Now, I assume they mean, should we find a couple other guys on Grindr to join us? Or is it just going to be the two of us? Number five, release your expectations. Like, for example, that he's hung like a mule. Number six, come up with the rules of your hookup. And I could spend a whole hour just on this one alone. But we'll leave it at, we'll set that aside. Number seven, not into things anymore. Tell them ASAP. Like if you're a selfish queen. And yes, I know that can be redundant. But if you're a selfish queen and you finish first and you're over the whole thing, toss them out without a happy ending. Number eight, put any awkwardness out into the open. Like if one of you has a micro penis. Say something like, "I guess I know who the bottom is tonight." Just get it out there first thing. Number nine, be kind to yourself. So they're probably not as judgy about your love handles as you are. Yeah, right. Number 10, if they're really into something that icks you out, let them know. In other words, please don't take a dump on me. Number 11, set your boundaries and stick to them. So, no, I'm serious. Don't take a dump on me. Number 12, decide how often you want to hook up. Who's counting? It's a hookup, you blithering idiots. They probably don't even remember their first names, assuming they used them in the first place. White Boy Malcolm X. 13 is respect each other's privacy. In other words, don't try to get into their cell phone when they're in the bathroom. And lastly, number 14, don't make it a bigger deal than it is. Like you losers at pride.com just did. So on that note, since I cannot top this silly hookup checklist, even if no queen in her sane mind would ever use it, since I cannot top that, it is time to plug pull this podcast. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this weekend edition of the Miller Frost Podcast. I am your host, Miller Frost, joined as always by my fake black friend, White Boy Malcolm X. Have a great rest of your weekend. a good start to your week, and we'll see you back here in a couple of days. In the meantime, take care.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.